Okay, you're all set. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. All right, so it's 6:33 and I'll call the meeting to order and ask everyone to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, I'll call the roll. Adam is here. Bob, you're here.
Here.
I'm here. We have a quorum. Ronnie Leno is absent. Ronnie is not going to be staying with us. He's going to be resigning within the next week. He's going to be, I think, at some point living out of the city. So the mayor's office has been notified, and they'll be looking for someone to take our fourth spot. All right. So God bless Meg Martins. Meg came back. She caught us up with the minutes. And I'm going to ask you all if you've had a chance to review them and if we can look at approving them.
I did. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of October 1, 2020, okay. November 12, 2020, that should say.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. 2020.
Approval of the minutes January 7, 2021, and January 14, 2021, February 4, 2021.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thanks, Adam. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any questions or any comments about the minutes, except how thankful we are to have them?
Nope.
Okay, so hearing none, all in favor of accepting the minutes, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes are approved. We'll go down to additions, deletions, corrections. Number five, I just have one on new business 8A. I think the better way to say that is discussion and formation of new policy regarding how to fill the new handicapped accessible units.
Okay.
So
I would like to offer the correction regarding the meeting minutes, what we just discussed, to November 12, 2020.
I'm sorry, I didn't say that again.
So we just voted to approve the minutes as submitted. We need to provide a correction to this agenda, which reflects the meeting minutes to include November 12, 2020, not 2021.
Oh, okay. You're right. You're correct. Yeah. All right. So we'll put that in the minutes. And did you make a motion to accept my change on 8A?
I have not.
Well, okay.
Let's make a motion and do them all at once.
Okay.
So Adam, I'll make a motion to provide the corrections of the meeting minutes as approved and accepted by the board, and more specifically, the November 12, 2020 meetings minutes, and the new business to have language that more accurately affects the policy regarding how we're going to fill the handicap accessible housing.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? All right. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. That motion passes. Does anybody else have any additions, corrections, or deletions?
No.
Nope.
Okay, and then we'll go down to number six, which is public portion. I don't believe there's anybody from the public, but is there anybody from the public who'd like to speak on anything on the agenda? Okay. So then we'll go down to old business, seven. We'll start with the monthly report from Ken Schultz. I believe Ken is not present. So does anyone have any questions regarding his, because I'll be happy to give him a call in the morning and get further information. Any discussion or questions about his report?
No, there's probably questions, but I remember, I believe it was January, and it was reflected in the minutes where there was a discussion regarding, mayors, and Adam, remember you were very concerned regarding the amount of work they were doing and what was going on. Did you get any feedback from that? Any discussion with him, with Ken?
On the maintenance? I'm sorry, yeah. You cut out there for a minute.
Okay. No, well, in January, there was a lot of discussion that we had regarding Imagineers.
Correct.
So that's my question, whether there's been any feedback from Ken or, on that discussion.
I didn't go back to ask him. Adam said he was going to have a conversation with him because he wanted to know more specifically what he meant when he said that, we just weren't a good fit. And was that going to cause problems from us down the road if we ever thought to use another property management company? What exactly did that mean? So I didn't pursue it. I've had conversations with Ken about other things, but not necessarily about the maintenance. He knew that last month on the agenda, there was the discussion of going back to possibly hiring part-time folks again. And we did talk about that. Adam asked me to talk to Janet Wortman, which I did. And so when we get down to item number 7D, I can talk about that. But I have not fleshed anything more out with Ken about the maintenance. Did you get to talk with him, Adam?
Right. No. So I have not. And largely that's on me. We had one failed interaction where the meeting just didn't work out, and I have not been able to reconcile my schedule to make it occur. So it's on me. Sure. I just haven't gotten there.
That's okay. No worries.
Thank you.
Would you like us to pursue something further, Bob?
No. I mean, when you look at what Janet broke down, it's quite extensive.
Right. Let's hold that off until 7.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's fine.
When we get, okay. All right. So.
Okay. Outside of that, with regards to just the monthly report from Ken Schultz, being mm-hmm. that it's new, I don't know is that it would be in a monthly report, but what, We voted to have them take over a program for us. Have they provided any initial reports on it or any type of, hey, this is, concerns, or is it all positive?
Well,
or was it just too soon?
He speaks to it in the second paragraph. There's some changes coming from HUD. And they're waiting final notice of approval, and whatever the changes are, they'll fold them into our program. There's a new participant, and he uses an initial and a last name. They started the contract in February 2021. There's also a client from Ansonia who's looking to transfer her FSS account to Derby Housing Authority. So they're working with her, absorbing her. Laura had identified 4 Section 8 participants as potential clients. He said, we are not seeking additional funding. Okay, so they're not going to ask for more money, but are taking steps to confirm what the requirements are of accepting the FSS grant and eligibility. We have successfully administered the FSS program in the past without the use of HUD grant funding. So I think for me, maybe then the question to ask for next month is, have you been able to resolve that? Have you been able to get the answers to your questions? And are you feeling comfortable about taking on the grant?
Right. Okay.
Do you all see that last paragraph under the second paragraph in his report?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Everything else looks good. The project-based voucher from Barron, they renewed their paperwork. Their increases were improved. I think you talked about that last month. Our agency annual plan was approved and submitted. So I think the last big thing is Tiger Terrace. And so I think at this point, at some point this month, we're going to need to set up a meeting. Ken, Ellen, me, and either one of you, as long as we don't have a quorum, anybody else who wants to participate, to sit down to decide how we're going to tackle it. I had a conversation with Rhonda Caldwell earlier this month. It had taken me, oh my God, probably the better part of 2020 and at least 2 months into 2021 to reach her. And I don't know for a fact, but I don't believe she ever really understood what the issues were over there in terms of the project-based vouchering and, you know, whatever potential payoffs there might be. And she said a couple of things that kind of threw me for a loop. She didn't think we'd be able to take the money out of our reserves. And that's a whole separate topic, and I think we need to get more information. But where we need to start is with Ken and help them and encourage them to go back over Jamie Behrman's figures and bring them forward so that we can, now that we've met with HUD in the past and we got direction from them and we're good, to go to CHOPPA and go to Rhonda and her folks and say, okay, here's what we owe. This is the plan. The plan is the project-based at all. We need a plan for repayment to people. People have to be made whole. And I had to say that to her on the phone. We have to find a way to make people whole. Her ideas on how to do that, my ideas on how to do that were a little bit different. It was a concern. I don't know that we're ready to put this all on tape, but we're going to be talking about it a lot more in the future, I think. But before that gets out there, we need to sit down and see exactly where we are, especially dollar-wise, if that makes any sense.
All right. But as long as the conversation is continuing, we're good.
Yes, yeah. But I think it needs to ramp up. You know, now that Ellen is done, you know, with her recertifications and, you know, I'm not saying she's got a lot of free time, but maybe more than what she had the last couple of months. And you know, my work schedule is a little bit different. And again, either one of you who wants to participate in this, you're more than welcome because it's a tricky situation. We have to really now push to start those conversations on a much more accelerated level, I think.
Yeah, Linda, let me know when is she coming down? Oh, no, I can't.
It's going to all be virtual.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. Just let me know. I'd be happy to step in with you.
Okay, perfect. Perfect, perfect. All right. So any other discussion on Ken's report? Okay. So then we'll go on to Joan's report. Everybody have a chance to review and take a look at this. She's done a wonderful job. She's been doing these COVID-19 vaccine on site. She did one at CC. She did them at Steiger and Guardiano too. I was lucky enough to get my first shot over there with some of the folks, and it was just a great feeling. She's doing a fabulous job with that. She continues to help pick up fresh boxed food for people who don't have cars. She certainly notifies people who do that they can go and get their own. People have profited from that. I know.
I guess I'll touch on it because she does speak of it in the report and it is a part of our last meeting minutes. You know, I was relatively critical about Ellen's management of her and the hours. I'm concerned about our liabilities when it comes to her overages. And, you know, she clearly directly speaks towards that in her report. So I want to know, is there progress on that front? Is there a change? Is there something that we need to more hands-on manage?
I did speak to Joan regarding that, and I told her I was asked to remind her that her job is 18 hours per week.
Right.
And that's all, you know. But I mean, does over the 18, but.
Okay, well, I'm just looking at her report, and she's telling us it's a challenge to do this job in 18 hours. But she's not saying that she's doing over that, so I'm glad that's not put in a report. But obviously, when I get to your report, I'm going to have to address it differently.
Okay. They've all come very dependent on her.
All right. Well, I said this previously, and I'll say it again. My concerns are when we look at, you know, federal law, the FLSA, the Fair Labor Standards Act, when we have an employee that is working within their capacity and their supervision level is aware of it, there becomes an onus on us to ensure they're compensated. So I want to make sure that we are being defensive of our budget and acknowledging that there's a limitation to what we can and cannot provide.
I understand that. Yep. She was told.
Okay. I hate to be the heavy in the room, but you know, this is what has to be said.
I don't disagree with you. Listen, I'm the one who brought the issue to the table. So I don't disagree. Can we force her if we don't know? I don't know.
Yeah, if we're unaware, but, you know.
I mean, prior to this, we were aware, but if. She was spoken to.
Right. Okay. So that's what and clearly it's in the minutes previously where I discussed the need to maybe, you know, if necessary, engage in a disciplinary process. And it's certainly not what I want to occur, but we need to take a strong stance on, look, these are the hours and that's what it is. And only because we are once we're aware, we can't unsee it. So I just want to make sure that we're protecting ourselves in this agency. It's we've come a long way, and that's through a lot of your hard work, Linda. And I don't want that undone.
I know what you're saying. So, Ellen, you'll just remind her again. I will speak to her too, and I'll report back.
Okay. I'm just trying to be defensive of the work that has been done. I just would be ashamed to see some federal agency come down on us for someone really trying to help, but not appreciating the consequence of that help.
I appreciate but that, Adam. I know what you're saying.
To our knowledge, she hasn't requested anything above and beyond the 18 hours as far as payment, right, Ellen?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
All right. I don't want to belabor the issue. I'm just, you know, we discussed it previously, and I feel it's important to touch upon it again because she didn't include it in her report. So that's all.
I agree, Adam. Thank you. All right. So we'll move on to the update of CC Manor construction. So it's... we're waiting on the final CO. I think that the building inspector is out ill. When he comes back, we had a preliminary CO. We need the final walkthrough, the final inspection. It's coming soon. The issue with the electrical continues. So I had a conversation. I think I told you I had a conversation with the electrical agency that was hired by Imagineers. And he explained to me what the problem was. And God love the man, he took pictures. and he sent me pictures. And when I went to the last construction meeting, I forwarded the pictures to the participants, and it made perfect sense to the architect. He could see exactly where the problem was and that it had been caused by the construction company. So we asked Imagineers to go back in their records and detail all of the money that were spent on the electrical as a result of this problem and give us the dollar amount. And also the private electrical company gave us copies of their bills. Those have been submitted. They either the electrical company can pay, or the construction company, their subcontractor, or their insurance can pay, because I'm going to say we're pretty close to, well, we're probably at or a little over $8,000 that will come back to us as a result of the error that was made. So we continue to work on that.
Yep.
And other than that, it's just going to be a process of how to fill them. And so we've got that on the agenda for 8A. That's where we are. Bob, you had a chance to look at the units, correct?
Oh, yeah, I walked in two of the units. I'll tell you, they're well done. And, you know, I think that, you know, aesthetically, they're very, you know, appealing. And, you know, they're nice units. And the tenants that actually, you know, get housed there should be very, very, you know, happy. But they did a nice job. They really did. And picked out all nice stuff. So looks good.
Thanks. Ellen and I will take the credit for that, right?
Yeah,
Ellen?
No, they're nice.
Thank you.
Looks a lot different than the office.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha it is. Did you get a chance to go into the community room? Because that was made handicapped accessible. The appliances are lower. There's new appliances.
No, I didn't, because it was locked.
Okay. Adam, you should come by too. I don't know. I've been asking Peter Testa about having some kind of a ribbon cutting, an open house, something, you know, that lets the community know that the housing authority is doing good things, as opposed to, you know, having the problems that we had 3 years ago. Are kind of in a different place. So I'm waiting on him. He's the person who worked with Patty Finn to help secure the grant. And he said he would take charge of that. I just think it would be a nice thing to do. But Adam, I'd really like you to see the units in the community room. The generator's up. I think they started it. They asked us to send a letter out to all the residents letting them know that they were going to start up the generator. Apparently, it's going to be a bit noisy when it kicks in. It was just a test. Then once a month, they're going to pick a day and try to do it at noon, and they're going to test once a month to make sure that the generator is operable. And so we sent a letter out to the folks telling them that they may hear this noise and not to be concerned. That is just a generator being tested. But pretty much everything is done. I think there's still some electrical work that's got to be finished. Everything is operational. The lights are working. The breaker system is working, the timer system's working, but some of it was jerry-rigged. Like things that should be underground, I think, are up. And so there's work to continue, and CMSA, the construction company, knows that's got to be finished. There's been nice back and forth between Manglione's electrical and the construction company, so that there's a smooth flow and a completion of the work.
Great.
Okay. Ongoing discussion of the maintenance issues. Did you all see the email that Janet sent out on Tuesday? It was breaking down the maintenance expenses from, hang on one second. I have it on my iPad.
April 1.
Yes.
Right.
It's 2020, right?
Right. April 1, 2020 through February 28.
Because Adam, you had asked me to talk to Janet, and so I did. And so she put this together. I think it's $355,000 in that period of time.
Yep. $355,484.
Okay. So she doesn't disagree at all that if we can find appropriate part-time, that it would be less expensive.
Yeah, I can't believe that price. That's insane.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, though, Linda, when you take a look, I mean, at all of it, you know, mm-hmm. not just Imagineers, like, you know, the plumbing and heating, snow and landscaping, there's not much we can do about that. Jeff's Appliance, Calvert Lock, Ultimate Cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
We could obviously be able to reduce that. I mean, Ultimate Cleaning should be one of them we should be able to, if we could.
Well, with Ultimate Cleaning, she does it all the time. And then if somebody shows up positive, then she goes and she fogs everything. Their doorknobs, the community room, all of that. Anna used to write everything down, but because of the COVID, we had her coming in every day because people were showing up with it.
I will say, and if you all remember back over the past year, because of COVID, we had an exceptionally high turnover of units. So this might be, you know, a unicorn year, for lack of a better term. But one thing she did say is that Jacozi, we paid Jacozi a lot of money. Now, I know that they don't use Jacozi, but if we are to go back to another system, we might want to think about pricing out plumbing work. Because
maybe an RFP put out.
Well, it's sure going to be over 2,000 in the course of a year.
Yeah. The units are getting older. There's not much you can do.
Well, it's true. It's true. And you know, I don't say Imagineers does a bad job, but you know, I know, and I know we've talked about it maybe a year or so ago, maybe when we were talking about getting that grant with Peter, about the need for new windows, especially over at Guardiano, and about how much draft comes through. So Imagineers, they came over the other day and they wanted to know from Ellen. I heard, Ellen, you could speak to this. They asked to replace 5 windows. I know that there were...
That was at Steiger.
Steiger? It wasn't even Guardiano.
Yeah, it was at Steiger, number one. You know how you put the window up and it don't stay up, it slams down?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess there's some kind of things in the sides of them that break and have to replace them. So actually, Jimmy came to me and he said, well, I need to have 6 of these replaced. And I said, what is the price? And he said, I don't know. Well, go get a price for me before I'm okay in anything. So he did call me today. And for 6 of them, it was $360 to have them fixed.
So it's not replacing the windows anymore? Because when you first told me, it was replacing the windows.
Oh, no. He did a couple replacement windows at... I believe it was Steiger too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then I have
and
to say.
And those were expensive.
Hang on. Well, then at least it sounds like he's staying on top of things. I thought you were telling me he was asking just to willy-nilly start replacing windows.
No, he said they didn't stay up.
Okay. Well, 300 is a whole lot better than, I don't know, 6 at what, 1800 was what the price they quoted at one point?
Yeah. That was for the new whole new window, yeah. They replaced a couple of those, too.
Right. So I don't know. What are your thoughts about trying to find some part-time help and see where that goes?
You know, I did put some feelers out there, and, you know, I don't... There isn't at this point that's coming forward.
Right. I mentioned it to the mayor. I haven't heard anything. It's worth putting it in the paper. I mean, Imagineers will stay with us and continue to work for as long as we need them. They're not going to leave us with no maintenance folks. Do you want to give it a try? I think
think we're at the point we got to try. Let's post.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. We should put it out there and see who looks for some work.
I wonder too if when Lou has his second COVID vaccine, if he'd be willing to come back. I know he's really interested. He stays in touch with Ellen. We can only ask, but I understand where he's coming from. And so, you know, we'll give him time to get his second shot and his 2 weeks in, and then we'll reach out. But let's get it in the paper.
Yep. Good idea.
It can't hurt.
No.
All right. All right. So one of you want to make a motion to do that?
Yeah. I'll make a motion that we post in the newspapers maintenance personnel on part-time basis.
I have the old ad, so I could just go off of that. Yep.
I'll second the motion.
All right. Discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Can we use an electronic paper to save some costs? To use a Valley Indy?
Sure. Do they take them?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, I don't know, but sure. Okay. I wonder if there are any other electronic papers.
Last time we did, I want to say maybe New Haven Register, Connecticut Post. I'll have to look.
I'm not against using those, but given the times we're in, I assume getting a local person part-time is probably going to be most advantageous for us.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll check in for Valley Indy. Good, I have to do
that. Good. All right. So we'll go on to even approval of extra hours over 20 for the woman who helped Ellen. How many hours over 20 do you need approval for?
9.75.
Okay. It's done. It's finally done. For some reason, Ellen, you can probably speak to this, but there was a lack of compliance on the part of the residents to get their paperwork in a timely way. This went significantly over, much to Ellen's frustrations, but it's finally done.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion on that? Anybody?
You need a motion?
I do.
I'll make a motion to approve the extra hours for the assistant on the annual certification completion.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Okay, so that brings us to new business. And that's the discussion and formation of a policy regarding how to fill the new handicapped accessible unit. So when I finally got to talk to Rhonda, I said to her, you know, we're not sure quite how to do this. Is there a way to do it? And she said, well, you need a policy. And if you haven't had handicapped accessible units in the past, then you probably don't have a policy. So she said, tonight would be the discussion, because it was on the agenda. Tonight would be the discussion and the formation. People would have a month to comment, and next month would be the vote. So I know we have one woman who's had her paperwork. One of the things that has been required for any kind of special accommodation is a special accommodations form that you have to bring to your doctor and have your doctor fill out. This woman is significantly handicapped. She has her paperwork in order. There's another gentleman who doesn't have paperwork in, but he's in a wheelchair and he's really struggling to get in and out of his home. There was maybe consideration of a VASH handicapped veteran. I did talk to Ken about that. Ken looked, he said there is one disabled veteran who might profit, who doesn't have a placement yet. He tried to reach out to him. The contact information that he had didn't work. The numbers were out of.
My only concern with that is about being on the waiting list. Because we pull off the waiting list.
Correct. And he is not on a waiting list.
Right.
Ken said he would try to send him a letter just to see if he even qualified. So we don't know that he would qualify, but I think we need to to decide how we want to do that. Do we first take a current resident and then people on the wait list? Do we want to add VASH? I think we should have, you know, like the first choice, the second choice, and then the third. You know, we place these people first, we place these people second, we place these people third. I know that everybody's going to want them because they're beautiful and they're spacious, but you really do have to have the need and the reasonable accommodations to do it, to get in there.
I agree. So, well, I guess my first thought is to your point there, the need. So are we allowed to? Can we identify people based on their level of physical handicap?
I think it's touchy. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was thinking maybe send a letter out to our tenants that we already have there that could use the apartments and have been struggling. You know? Like, I know one, they have a hard time getting on the toilet, so them trying to get on the toilet is, when they're doing that, it's loosening the toilet and we're paying to replace toilets and the water's going on the floor, so the floor's coming up and we're paying all these extra costs because of it.
Well, I understand that. I guess my question is more about creating a filter level that says, are you wheelchair bound? Are you, will this unit provide you a greater level of support than? I just wanted to ensure that the person that's in it can maximize the benefit. And I don't know, I guess I want to know how we are allowed to navigate that.
Well, I think as long as we have a written policy, we're allowed to negotiate whatever we set as the policy, as long as we give the public time to respond. We have to do it the fairest way possible. And is that, do you send a letter first to all current residents saying these are available and show, you know, get letters to, if you think you have need, then provide your reasonable accommodations.
And then we
go through them and say, okay, you know, these seem to be the highest needs according to the medical providers. And then if we don't fill the three, then you go down to the wait list, send the same letter to the wait list, and see where that goes. And then if we want to include
that. I think we should talk to Rhonda and see what our options are.
I did talk to Rhonda. This is what she told me.
Oh, really? Because she told me never, I don't know. All right.
She told you never what?
No, I'm not even going to. I don't know. All right. We'll just do whatever.
Yeah, well, Alan, so if you have information that you think. Go ahead, Alan.
I'm just wondering. Obviously, it seems like it gets sticky when you're trying to decipher a level of need. So I want to put that on a doctor. So do we create a form? Do we create a form, you know, that they have to bring to their doctor, you know, to show need, and then that doctor will say, okay, you have this level of handicap or this level of need for assistance and accommodation, and that puts you at a level one, a level two, a level three. Do we create a level system, you know, and then...
Well, we could.
Let the doctor decide where they're at, and then we say, okay, this is the priority system.
That makes sense to me. I mean, that would just be creating one additional sheet that goes with the reasonable accommodations packet, asking the doctor to rank.
Yeah, that's just my initial thought. I feel like I'm shooting from the hip here, but yeah, that's what I'm thinking off the top of my head. So I just want to make sure that we're, you know, we put a lot into these units, and They're kind of a unique asset, and I want to make sure that those that need them the most get them.
I couldn't agree more. So,
Linda, wouldn't Rhonda already have paperwork from other communities that have gone through this?
I can ask her. I know that the reasonable accommodations form is pretty standard.
Right. And they must have a policy so, you know, that, you know, we can just simply utilize for us. There has to be the
language. You mean someone else's policy?
The language has to be pretty similar everywhere.
Oh, absent of that, I'm certainly, you know, want to pursue what she has, but absent of that, I think we should pursue a structure that prioritizes physical handicap, because we're talking about a physical environment that is advantaged towards providing support for those types of handicaps. Or disabilities, if that's a better word.
I did say to her that we didn't want to wait 3 months to be able to fill this. And she said, no, I get it. She said, when you propose a policy, you know, whether you vote on it or not, you can use your, with the assumption that it's going to pass, you can send a letter out saying, this is, you know, whatever you want to say in terms of the policy.
Right. So, you know, I'm just in favor of anything that advantages or prioritizes those that are non-ambulatory. And, you know, from there, we can decide, you know, who comes next. But I think, you know, the wheelchair accessibility has to be at the forefront.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree, because we have someone now who's really, really struggling with his wheelchair, even just to get in and out of his apartment, much less use the commode, the bathroom.
Right. I think this is perfect. We finally have a solution.
Amen. All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'll try to get a hold of Rhonda tomorrow. Would one of you like to just make up the ranking sheet, and then maybe we'll have a special meeting to pull this together and get the letter written?
Sure. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. Thanks. And I'll talk to Rhonda. So we can move this along and get those beautiful apartments filled. Mm. All right. So, Ellen, we're on to you. Subsidized housing coordinators report.
Oh, hold on. Oh, boy. Hold on. I'm going through this whole pile over here. Okay. So at Beth Steiger, we had 31 vacant. That's leased up for 3-1. Number one is vacant at Steiger. I have sent out the letter of, for someone on the list. 56 is leased up. That was leased up as of 2-1. And 18, that vacant apartment up at Guardiano. Mm-hmm.
Where we had that's where burn. The fire was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's leased up as 4-1. 4-1, she's leasing up.
So really, then, we have only one vacancy plus the three new units.
Well, we'll have number 3 coming up at Guardiano, and we'll have number 74 coming up at DC Manor. So.
Okay. Well, at least it's slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly seems like progress is being made.
Yeah. Okay, Ellen, go ahead.
As far as the bills, they're all paid. That's about it.
Okay, any questions for Ellen?
No. Sounds like good work. I'm glad we got the fire department behind us.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm glad that's over. Oh.
All right. Is there anything else?
No.
All right. Well, 7:18, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion. We adjourn at 7:18.
I'll second the
motion. Thank you, Bob. Adam, thanks. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Meeting adjourned. Gentlemen, I'll get back to you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.